Welcome to Muscle Girls Inc., the next generation. Get full access into the world of women's bodybuilding, women's physique, figure, fitness, and bikini. Here are your hosts, Diana Dahlgren and Christina Voynich.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina Voynich, and I'm here with my... Dang it, I can't even come up with something clever anymore. I'm here with my co-host, Diana Dahlgren.
You're all totally okay because you've been complimenting me way too much every week.
I got nothing this time. This is my very
welcome back host. To Muscle Girls Inc. We're here, my sexified co-host, my amazing co-host that listens to me when I want to rant and rave.
Yeah. So what's happening in the DD world, Diana? What's going on?
Oh, the DD world, it's crazy. Right now, I'm just trying to stay positive, Christina. Trying not to get too angry. No, I'm having a great day. I've been having great days, I should say, ever since last week, since we talked last. I went to Chicago. I came back from Chicago. Went to Chicago, from Montreal to Chicago. Then came home for a day last week and then left and went to Chicago again for the whole weekend for the Chicago Marathon, and was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and finally came home Sunday. Do you ever find that when you travel, you get sugar cravings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's usually the worst. Usually I want something like Skittles, or like I want candy anytime I travel. I think it's because maybe you see it so much in the airports and the vending machines everywhere you go. But yes,
really? Is that what you think it is? Because I have the same damn problem.
Ugh.
I went to the Cheesecake Factory on Saturday night and I just put down.
I was like, wait, what'd you get? What was your dessert?
Oh, I got the Splenda cheesecake.
Nice. Okay, so at least it was Splenda.
Yeah, it was a Splenda. Girl, I don't do good with sugar anymore. I really have been trying to not do it. And high carbs. I'm trying to stay with my high carbs and the high fat. I just don't like being big, you know? Like, everyone always makes fun of me for being big on the off season, and I don't like it. I mean, it's not like I like it. I really don't like it. So I'm going to do my best to stay down and wait this time. I could take pointers from you because you do it so well.
You know, it's funny because for me, I get the opposite. I was at the gym one time and one of my good friends saw me, and it was about like 2 weeks maybe before Dallas or something. And she was like, oh my God, you look so little. And I was like, please don't tell me that. I don't want to look little. Like, please. No, I want to look voluptuous. I want to look curvy and pretty and womanly. So between you and I think we can help each other out in us both looking how we want to look, and maybe helping all of our listeners too on looking how they actually want to look. So
yeah, because I figure I want to be skinny. If I want someone to come up to me and say I look tiny, that'd be amazing.
But then again, if you're tiny, like I told everyone, it's like the long hair or the curly hair, straight hair syndrome, you know. Mm-hmm. You always want what you don't have. But well, I'm glad you're, and so are you all settled at home now, or are you traveling? Like, when's the next time you're traveling, or is it gonna be a while?
No, I was supposed to go this weekend to Vegas, but I think I might have to cancel it just because I have photo shoots next week, like 3 next week. And I just, you know, when you travel, you get bloated and
yeah,
you're just away from home and you're in Vegas. You're staying at, I'm supposed to be staying at the Aria. It's just like, I don't want to have to deal with temptation. So I was going to call and possibly cancel, but who knows? We'll see. Maybe I'll gather the strength and go.
Good. You should. It'll be fun for you, right?
I know. It'd be fun, but at the same time, I'm just like thinking about my photo shoots all the time. Like, oh, I got to make sure I'm like, have no water in me. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, cover the shoot. So that's definitely the only thing sense. That's on my mind. So we'll see. Maybe I'll go to Vegas. Maybe I won't. What about you?
I've just been laying low. You know, I've got a bunch of stuff I've been working on. So I'm like, you know, trying to just get some stuff done, and we're finishing just kind of tying up loose ends around the house and just trying to get settled. You know, for the last year, Michael and I really haven't been settled anywhere. We've moved a couple of times and we've got the dogs and it's competing and traveling. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to have nothing to do. So we got a few final things we're wrapping up, and then I think we'll be able to like relax for the rest of the off season. So after the middle of November, I think we'll probably be fine. Because I hate, like, being busy is fine, but it's when you have like almost like projects to work on, whether it's like a move or a, you know, some sort of big event you're planning. It just consumes your whole life. And actually, the last few days that we've taken his motorcycle out, so we've gone out on some runs and some rides. It was really, really pretty here in Chicago. So that's what we've been doing. We're just getting out on the motorcycle every chance we can while it's still nice. Because even when you're running errands, if you're running errands but you're on the bike, it doesn't really seem like you're running errands because it's like fun. So we went to like the post office today, and we went to like go look for furniture. But it's like we did it all on the motorcycle, so it doesn't seem so bad after all. You know what I mean?
Oh, motorcycles are so fun. And it was absolutely beautiful in Chicago this past weekend. So it was even nicer in Chicago than it was in California. How sad is that?
I know, that is pretty sad. And in October, in October, let alone.
In October, I was like, God, I got to Chicago. I'm all, Jesus, I'd rather live here right now than California. It was so raining when I left. And it was like 80 degrees. Clear skies out in Chicago. Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, there was two big shows that have happened over last weekend. We had the Fort Lauderdale Pro, which is always a very big show. Usually a lot of it's an all ladies show. It's a fitness figure and bikini. And I want to apologize to all the fitness gals. Last week, I think I started the preview for the Fort Lauderdale, and we never talked about the fitness girls. So they also had fitness. It was fitness figure and bikini. And then also there was the IFBB Arnold in Europe. So it wasn't the traditional Arnold Classic. It was the Arnold Classic over in Spain, where they had men's open and fitness as well. So before we get into the big show and the I guess the big show, Muscle Girl show. It is a big show. We'll talk about the placings for everybody. So real quick, you know, run through fitness. First was Camila Rodriguez. Second, Jodie Bohm. Third, Nicole Duncan. I love Nicole Duncan. She's a very, very spunky little girl. Fourth, I feel bad that I don't know how to pronounce her name. Ryle, I think is her name. R-Y-A-L-L. Graber. And then fifth place was Dina Martinez. So Camila, I know a lot of people know. She kind of has a good sex appeal. So I was happy that she won. In figure,
Hold on one second before we move to figure. I saw a tweet by Isaac Hines at Hard Body saying that Nicole Duncan, the point sheet, was misread. And they redid the points. They recalculated the points after awards had already been presented. This is really sad. Nicole Duncan was, you know, probably excited for her Olympia qualification because they are still qualifying top three till the end of this year. She actually got fourth, and the girl who got fourth got third.
Oh.
Yes. Very, very unfortunate, but that was what was tweeted, and usually Isaac is pretty good about that. I don't think that's a miscommunication by any means.
But it was after they already gave out the awards is when you're like, oh yeah, my bad.
I can't believe that. Ugh. I can't imagine.
Oh, that would be tough, especially when you can still qualify. That's tough. Well, hopefully she'll still have another chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on the show. It just sucks too for the fitness girls because for at least figure and bikini, we have like a million chances to qualify during the year. And for fitness and female bodybuilding, there's just not as many opportunities. So it's kind of unfortunate, but hopefully she's in good spirits. Maybe we'll try to get a hold of her. Maybe we can have her on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go from there. And then in figure, a couple of or quite a few good names, I think, we had talked about last week. We mentioned at first Candace Lewis was one that you had mentioned. Diana, she won the overall junior nationals. She ended up placing seventh. So not bad for your pro debut against a lineup with very top Olympia contenders. You know, I'm sure she's not complaining about that. But first place went to, I had to say, one of my personal favorites, Alicia Harris. I love me some Alicia. She took first place. Second was Jen Strobo. Third, Antitoni. Congrats to her for getting another Olympia qualification. And then fourth, Monica Specking. And fifth was Candace John. I like Candace John. She's been placing, I believe, second a few times this last year. She's quite a bit shorter than a lot of the girls, but she looked great. I think, she took second in Toronto. She took 13th at the Olympia, but then she took 5th here. So, but I like her. She's got a very, very cute look. And then over to bikini. Again, first place, we've got India Paulino. Second place, Vanessa Campbell. Third was Diana Graham. Fourth was a fellow Chicagoan, Nicole Monier Guerrero. And fifth place was Heather Nappe, Heather, who was making her pro debut as well. So congrats to all those girls. There we go. That wraps it up.
That wraps it up for the Fort Lauderdale. Then we have the first ever Arnold Classic in Europe. So this was a big show. They only had men's bodybuilding in fitness. So I remember I was working with one of the fitness girls that competed, Tina Durkin, about a month and a half before the Olympia. And she was like, I've been waiting to get my Arnold invite, the Arnold in Spain, She finally got her invite. She was so excited. So they only had, like I said, the women's fitness. And Tangi Johnson got her victory there. So congratulations to Tangi. She's been freaking runner-up to Adela for a number of times. So I bet that she's, like, stoked, so happy on this placing that she got. And then in second place, we have Bethany Cisternino. Their last name is – do you know how to say it?
Yeah, it's Cisternino. I think on RX they've got it as Bethany Wagner, but yeah, Cisternino. She's a Guy Cisternino's wife.
Yes, Bethany Cisternino. She's intense. I've seen that girl. Her, when she practices her routine, she's intense.
She's like in another zone when she goes through her routine. I love it.
Exactly. And then for third, we have, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce, Region de Silva.
That sounds right.
Is it? Jane, she's from Germany.
Yeah.
Okay, so Region de Silva. And there was only 8 girls in this one. 4 with Miriam Capes and...
Diana, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
I think you just put me on hold, damn it.
I know. I didn't do it. My phone started getting a phone call and it put you on hold. So I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. Continue. We'll leave it in. Continue.
God, all the interruption. I'm sorry. So anyways, 5th place was Tina Durkin. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay, perfect. So that wraps it up for the fitness. And then men's bodybuilding. A bunch of great contenders in the bodybuilding. Victor Martinez picked up his victory here. Dexter Jackson got 2nd. Ronnie Rockel got 3rd. And Tony Freeman got 4th. And Flex Lewis got 5th. Now, I wanted to ask you a question because you probably have a little bit more knowledge on the bodybuilding with your boyfriend being a pro bodybuilder. Flex Lewis usually competes in the 202s.
Yes.
So when you're when you're a bodybuilder, you're allowed to be a 202 and go into the heavier class?
You can. It's kind of a choice. Victor Martinez, too. Victor Martinez is known as, the champion of the 202s. He's made, quite a impression in the 202s. I'm sorry, Kevin English. I'm thinking of the wrong guy, Victor Martinez.
Yeah, I'm all Victor Martinez.
I'm sorry, I was thinking Kevin English. But with this, I think they allow that because there's not an option for 202.
Gotcha.
A guy, because if you think about it, if there was only the open class, you've got guys that turn pro as like welterweights at nationals. Someone like Marvin Ward, who you've seen in the 202, really, really short guy, he's like maybe 5 feet and maybe competes at like a buck 70. Maybe, I mean, he maybe even be less than that. If he's competing at, I actually think it's 150, believe it or not. I think he competes at 150, 170. Yeah. But he has the opportunity, if he wanted to, he could compete in the open. But there would be no point for him to do that because he would get completely outsized by everyone else. So this is an opportunity for the guys to only compete against those smaller guys. If you're at the cusp, you can go into the open. I'm 99% sure of that. I'll double check, but I think you have the option to go either way. I think though, if you are, Yeah, I think that's how it goes. I think, yeah, you can compete. I think especially here, the rules may be different to over in Europe, in Spain, because they don't give a 202 option. So, but as you can see, I mean, Flex Lewis is, you know, top three 202 in the world, and then he places fifth at this one show. So, obviously, it's tough to be a smaller guy to be a 202 in the open because you've got guys that are just going to outsize you. No matter how good your conditioning is, if they're bigger than you, unfortunately, sometimes that gets over, your conditioning gets overlooked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, thank you for clarifying that for me. That should, if that anyone out there listening has questions or had the same question, there we go. It's answered.
I'm pretty sure. If it's wrong, I will correct myself next week when I go downstairs and ask Michael if I completely just stuck my foot in my mouth. So I'll
find it's out. Okay, girlfriend. I think yours sounds pretty legit.
We're gonna go with it. We'll go with it. Well, this weekend is the Houston Pro. Yes, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
So we will be running over that. You know, I'm actually going to pull up my list really quick. I feel bad. I don't actually have my contender list in front of me. But believe it or not, we actually have a RX Muscle amateur that is going to be competing. We have Aaron Singerman is doing men's physique at the MPC Texas State, which runs at the same time as the Houston Pro. So everyone
is proud of his body.
Yeah, I think he had to drop like 20 pounds or something, believe it or not, in order to do this because they wanted him to be so much smaller. But as for the women, all right, so we've got there is 24 figure girls. Huge.
Ooh.
So big class. I'm just going to run down some of the big names because there's actually quite a few. We've got Jelena, who I can never pronounce her last name. What's her last name?
Jelena. Jelena.
How do you pronounce her last name? Abu. Okay. Jelena. We have Chrissy Chin. We have Jamie DeBernard.
Which list are you looking at, darling? Because you need to refresh your page. There's a lot more people.
Well, I'm not going through each and every one.
Oh, okay.
You're like, you're number 12. Why?
I know. I'm all, why are you skipping all the women?
I'm just running through the big names that people probably can recognize.
Oh, okay. That I'll probably know. Okay.
Okay, so we've got Yelena. We've got Chrissy Chin. There is Jamie DeBernard, Allison Fran. Who else do we have? Tammy Marie is a good one. Mm-hmm. And let's see, Christina Rojas, Aaliyah Suarez. I'm going to put Aaliyah Suarez up there. I'll put Jamie DeBernard up there. Maybe
Christina. You skipped one, darling, that I think might win the show.
Who did I miss?
Teresa Anthony. She plays fourth at the Olympia.
Oh, geez. Yes, yes, yes. You're right. That was like number two on the list. Oh, my God. You could.
I know. When you skipped her, I'm all, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
Teresa Anthony. Yes. Oh, geez. I need some sugar or a shot of alcohol or something. Okay. So, yeah. So, Teresa Anthony, too. So, there's actually, I mean, for being a show after the Olympia, there's some pretty decent names competing. So, I think it may actually be a good show for the.
Oh, no. Completely. And it's a big turnout.
Yeah, which is strange when it comes to the fit, the bikini girls. Now, they're right now the list I'm looking at, which I don't know, it shouldn't change between now and the show, but it looks like there are only nine,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty small. There's Barbara Belay, Gabriela Cardoza from Brazil, Nicole Coleman, Tana Eubanks, Janet Harding, Nicole Monier, who we just talked about, Sky Taylor, who just competed at the Fort Lauderdale, Roya Tehrani, and then Christina Vargas. So I guess I just assumed that there would be more. In the
I
show.
Know. I kind of wish I would have done this show.
I was thinking the same thing myself.
Me and you, we think the same way.
This beats like having 30 girls. This is like nine. Cool, sweet, because then this is the thing. These girls are now hoping if you place top three, you can still qualify for the Olympia. So you've got another three girls that are like fingers crossed hoping to get the Olympia qualification before 2012 hits, you know?
Exactly. I'm calling top three in this one. Roya in first place, Christina in second or third. I kind of don't know out of the nine girls who could take that final spot. I don't know what a lot of these, some of these girls look like, but Barbara Belay.
Yep.
She qualified at last year's Louisiana, and she qualified up against Christina Vargas. And I hope, and she did the Olympia with us, and yep. She is so awesome. Great personality. But hopefully she'll bring in a great package enough to qualify for the Olympia, because she's awesome. So, you know, we'll see. Well, my money is on Roya, Christina, and Barbara. What about you?
I 100% agree. I'm just not sure because Nicole Monier just took fourth at Fort Lauderdale. So if she made the changes, if the judges had her make any changes off, she made the changes before this show in a week. I don't know how much you could do in a week. Maybe a little more cardio or change your suit, your presentation, something. She may be able to squeeze in there, but you've got Roya, who is a showstopper. I definitely think she will take top three. Christina Vargas, who's, you know, been on the Olympia stage, same thing with Barbara Belay. So I'm going to agree with you 100%, and I think that's how it'll go. In any particular order, those three.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Good. All right, that does it for the recap. I'm glad we had two shows to recap and one show to preview. That's really not too bad for after the Olympia, huh?
I know. When it comes to Christmas time, we're going to be talking about what kind of food we're eating instead of who's competing.
Well, I have no shows to talk about. It'll be fun. For this show, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. One major thing I wanted to mention was, you know, I want to first say thank you to everyone who always sends us emails and Facebooks and Twitters and tweets and all that jazz with suggestions or little shout outs to us. So I always like it when we're able to shout out back to someone else. So we actually got an email from Lacey Castro. She sent us an email about she is a first-time bikini competitor. And as of October 7th, so about a week ago, she was 3 days out from her very first show. And if anyone who is out there and you've ever competed, you know how freaking nerve-wracking it is the very first time you compete. I remember doing my very first figure show, and I was like, oh my God, where do I buy my suit? Who does my hair and makeup? Do I do it myself? How do I do my tanning? I was completely lost. So
yeah,
for those veterans that are listening, you can kind of listen and reminisce on the days when you didn't know what the hell you were doing. And then you can send us your stories too. Maybe we'll get some fun, embarrassing stories about first time competitions. But wanted to take Lacey's email and kind of formulate the second half of our first segment of the show around what to expect when you are 3 weeks out. So I'll give you a little background on Lacey. She's from Maine. She's a stay-at-home mother of two little girls. She's doing a local show in New Hampshire. And after that, she's hoping to do a national qualifier in Boston. So she shares the car with her husband, who's very supportive. So she works out at home. She has free weights. She does mostly plyos, high intensity intervals. She eats clean, all that. So what I'm gathering is she's doing this to kind of get her feet wet first, just to see, you know, if she enjoys it, if this is for her. So here is the part of her email where she was asking for some questions. She says, I'll be doing my own hair and makeup, and I'm just curious about a little details, like, do you do your hair and makeup before you check in the morning, or do you do it at the show? She talks about diet and exercise as she gets closer to the show. Should she take it easy or do a normal routine? She asked about spray tanning, if women spray tan their faces as well as the rest of their body. She also mentions about having fake boobs versus natural boobs that are really little, because of course a lot of us bikini girls, we have our boobs done, but those that don't, sometimes they're worried if that'll affect their placing. So I'll go through each and every one. Diana, you and I can kind of give our little input. She says in here that she's very excited and appreciates it if we're able to answer these questions. She thinks that myself and Diana might have some great tips and advice. She said here, I'm scared of the unknown of my first show, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm doing this as a personal goal for myself. Being a stay-at-home mom, sometimes I feel a little trapped, so this is a way to make me feel proud of myself. So,
okay. And I just want to say before we start this, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I know, right?
Seriously.
I give like her kudos for that, for sure.
Way.
She also her
way says, kudos.
She also says she listens to Muscle Girls Inc. because she likes to listen to it while she cooks dinner for the family. So, Lacey, this one's for you. Enjoy the rest of your cooking, and we'll be answering your questions now.
There we go.
All right, so the first thing that she talks about is hair and makeup. So she's going to be doing her own hair and makeup, but she wants to know if it should be done before she checks in the morning or if she should do it at the show. So, Diana, what's your suggestion?
Well, this one, it really kind of depends on the promoter's schedule of the show. Because if you are, depending on the schedule, hopefully, I'm sorry. Does she tell you if the schedule is like, the check-ins is the morning of the show?
It sounds like it. So we're going to assume that check-in, let's say check-in is like 8:30 and the show starts at 9:30. Let's just assume that that's what it is. I think, okay. Or it's the show starts at 10. I'm assuming it's something like that.
Okay, so you know what? She's going to want to get up, in my opinion, just because it's her first show. Have everything done in the morning. So get up around 5, 6 o'clock. You're going to have to get your final coat of tan all dialed in, and then you can start with your makeup and your hair.
Yes, I 100% agree, especially if your check-in is the morning. If your check-in is the night before, that's something you probably don't even need to worry about, especially for your first show. You know, if you come in and, you know, your sweatpants and stuff, it's not a big deal. But if check-in is the morning right before the show, I would have your hair and makeup completely done. And also bring extra hairspray, maybe bring a curling iron if you're going to be curling your hair because you might be able to plug it in. And just in case, you know, bikini is the very last to go on stage, you may need to add some poof to your hair before you go back out. And also bring your makeup with you, even though you're going to do it beforehand. Yeah. Bring your makeup, bring your lashes. You know, maybe if you don't want to put your lashes on before you check.
I'd even go just in case to go to Sally's Beauty Supply and get like a handheld mirror that's big enough to see, you know, like the bigger, like the hairdressers have. It's a bigger mirror with the handle on the bottom of it, just because you don't know if the promoter's going to have enough mirrors or if the bathroom's going to be taken and you're going to need to touch up your makeup right before you go on stage. Like,
good call.
Make sure you have that.
Very, very, very good call. Also, I know what I didn't know what I should do, if I should wear my jewelry to check in or not. I know it sounds stupid, but my very first show, I was like, I've got these big-ass earrings. Do I put them in now or do I wait until I get ready to go on stage? What I usually do is I just keep all that stuff in a nice little bag, like either a Ziploc bag so I can see it and I can know it's in there. I just keep all of that in my bag and then I put it on, you know, right before I get ready to go out. That's what I do. So let's see. Go ahead.
Exactly what I do too.
Yeah, you know, a lot of girls will wear all of that, you know, and they'll look all done up and overdone almost with the outfits even when they check in. What I usually suggest people to wear to check in, and Diana, you do the same thing. You wear either, you know, like a real long button-down jersey that, you know, kind of goes down past your butt, you know, in the middle of your legs. Or you can wear just like big sweatpants and a big t-shirt, a big sweatshirt, or like a warm-up suit, because the last thing you want is to wear something tight-fitting. Because then your tan is going to probably rub off on it and you don't want any extra smudges. I've seen girls sometimes, you know, wear little short shorts and a tank top to check in and to get ready for the show. And then they've got the lines from their shorts or lines from the ribbed tank top that they had on their tanning. So you're not going in trying to look super glamorous right before a show. the glamour part will come once you take all your clothes off and you got your hot bikini on underneath it. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're definitely going to want to be very comfortable while right before you go on stage. Cool, calm, and relaxed. So, like, you don't want the jewelry on yet because, you know, that'll weigh you down. If you got the nice glitzy jewelry, it weighs down your ears and your, you know, just too much clutter. And some jewelry can even screw up your chain as well, like bracelets or, just bracelets, I would have to say. But, yeah, get yourself like a nice comfy cotton sweatsuit or like a big black, like your husband's big shirt and, you know, some baggy sweatpants of his and wear those. And also don't forget to bring sheets with you for the hotel or for your house so you don't get tan on anything.
Very, very true. I accidentally, when I went to the Olympia, I was getting ready to send Michael a text message because he came the next day on Thursday, and I had a text message all ready to go, and I forgot to hit send, and then I went to a photo shoot, and by the time I was done, he already landed in Las Vegas, and the text message included bringing oatmeal cream pies for myself and Diana, which was never brought, and to bring sheets for the bed at the hotel. So incidentally, we had to run to, you know, to Walgreens to try to get some fleece blankets or something. It's just little things like that you want to remember that you have, or if you want to bring like a little black blanket or a little black towel just in case you have to sit on the floor, you have to sit on chairs or something, you know, backstage, you know aren't going to get everything messy and you don't have to sit on like the concrete floor. So little teeny tiny things that make a big difference. The next thing that she talks about here in this email was she mentioned diets and exercise. She says, as I get closer to the show, how much should I tweak my diet, and should I be taking it easy with working out or just keep up my normal routine? Well, Diana, you and I chatted a little bit about this off the air, and we don't want to exactly tell you what to do because every trainer is different and every physique is different. Some women can train their asses off and train hard everything up until the day of the show. Other women, it's better if they give their body a rest and they can kind of replenish themselves before a show. So my answer for this one is, this is the benefit of working with a trainer or a coach. For example, I have a couple of girls that are competing in about 3 or 4 weeks, and it's my job to tell them what to do those last couple of weeks before a show. That's the time when they can kind of sit back and relax. They don't have to do anything, and I just run the show for them. I say, okay, do this today. Okay, don't do this today. You know, do a little extra cardio. Don't do any more cardio. That's the benefit of working with someone. So until a competitor starts working with a trainer or a coach, it's best to almost listen to your body. If you feel like you need a little extra rest, do it. If you feel like you're still strong, even though you're dieting, keep training like you do. But that, I will say, is the benefit of working with someone, so they can kind of walk you through those last couple of weeks, you know, when you're a little more nervous.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure that your trainer knows what they're doing too, so you guys can so you don't have to stress and worry if this is your trainer's first time doing a competition as well.
Yes, definitely do your research before you hire someone. It's never a bad thing to go around and ask people what their philosophies are or what their thoughts are for you. And you don't want to be paying an arm and a leg for someone that really doesn't know what they're doing or has never really been able to get someone in shape. You know, there are tons of trainers out there, even at the big box gyms, that say that they can help you get in shape and help you win a show, but they've never helped someone win a show before. So definitely do your research before you go and spend the money on a trainer or a coach. The other question she asked, which I thought was pretty damn good question, she said, do girls spray tan their faces as well? Now, I think Each woman is a little different. I've seen both. I put spray tan on my face once, and the problem is when you do that and then you try to put makeup over it, it ends up looking like a hot mess. So for me personally,
oh, it does.
Yeah, I'm also paranoid when I'm in a tanning bed. I cover my face because I don't want my face tanned. My makeup has like 15 SPF. I'm like a nerd about like not wanting my face exposed to a bunch of shit pretty much. So my advice on what I usually do is I don't spray tan my face, and instead I just get the darker makeup. And what I'll do is the first few times I did it myself, I just bought the makeup ahead of time and did for some practice runs. And then I did that the night before the show. I did a practice run again to make sure it matched the color of my skin. So
yeah, I would do that too. A story about my first tanning experience. I got Jan Tana.
Yep.
And they're like, do you want your face tanned? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And they're like, well, some girls do and some girls don't. And I'm like, okay, do it. And so I did it. And of course, probably feel better because you don't look like a ghost. Like your face doesn't look like a ghost face. And then all of a sudden you have this dark and tan body. But I spray tanned it, and then the makeup artist had an easier time matching color the next morning because okay. I had a makeup lady too, because I didn't know anything. I just kind of took direction from my coach, and he told me like, okay, just just hire someone to do it, take care of everything for you. That way you don't have to like stress and worry about it. And I'm sure. Like, okay, cool. So, but now what I do, because there are some shows that I do do my own makeup or my own hair, is I just make sure they don't tan my face, and I make sure to have all the right colors that I need for my face makeup, which is pretty dark. Like if you go to MAC Makeup, you're going to want to get like NC55. It's like they're the highest colors.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I'm actually going to practice myself. I think maybe for my next show, I'm going to do it myself and see how good I can make it. I'm a little nervous.
I love doing my own hair and makeup. It's fun.
I think I prefer doing it. It's a little less stressful sometimes than having to go to another room and, you know, have someone else do it and it taking a little while, and maybe it doesn't look exactly how you want it, but, you know, you want to work with this person. So I've had some friends that have done both. So I think it's okay to do your own hair and makeup. I think maybe for your first national level show or like a big show where you don't want the added stress, you know, you can consider hiring someone to do your hair and makeup. But if you're going to do it yourself, like Diana said, make sure you get the right foundation, the right color. And also what I would do too, just send us an email, send anyone you know who's competed, ask them what they've used too. You know, and people can give you some ideas on color, look at photos, get some ideas before you actually, you know, stick it on your face. But
yes, 100%. Please email me or Christina and do it, because you're going to need to know colors, especially blushes too. Like you're going to need to find a bright enough blush to like go over your tan. You're going to need to find a bright enough like lip color. It's all much different when you have a very dark tan on.
I've ran into that problem for anyone who's a little darker skinned. You know, Diana's, you're very fair skin. I'm pretty dark. And when I get my color on and I have the darker makeup on, my lips, even if I go with a more nude lip color, you can't see my lips like at all on stage. And that was like my one issue with the Olympia. My tan was very dark, which my body just naturally takes it like that. But my lips, you could like barely see my lips because I didn't have dark enough makeup on. So I didn't have dark enough like lip liner or lipstick. So make sure you kind of have a little bit of both in hand. You know, if you see how bright the stage is, you're like, well, it is pretty bright, so maybe I need a little darker makeup so it pops a little bit, a little darker lips to pop. So don't be afraid to go a little dark, a little extreme, a little overdone, because on stage it's going to look pretty natural. So don't be afraid. The last thing she talks about is having boobs. So she mentions, you know, the difference between having fake boobs, because so many girls have them, versus, you know, maybe your placings might not be as well if you don't have boobs. Well, this is my take on it. If your physique is how it looks the best of the best and the best that you could possibly make it, then I don't think that will matter. But I will say, you know, if you have a completely flat chest, which is there's nothing wrong with, and you're wearing a bikini top that doesn't have any shape to it and doesn't have any padding, unfortunately, it may not be as flattering. So even if you have no boobs whatsoever, don't be afraid to completely pad the top of your bikini top. I did that for nationals last year and I took third place. So I don't think not, and you know, all the girls around me had fake boobs. So I don't think it's a complete detriment to your placing. I think you can still do well. If your presentation's right, your suit's right, your physique is right, add just a little bit of padding to your bikini top, and I don't think it'll really make that big of a difference in the long run.
Yeah, I experienced the same too. Like, I've always had boob. My first boob job was not a big boob job, because I would literally be nipples. That's it if I didn't have boobs, if I didn't have implants. So I didn't wear any extra padding or anything, but now that I've you know, competed a bunch and I've seen the difference, me personally, and I have bigger boobs now. I got my boobs redone and they're big now. I don't need to use padding, but for the girls who have the smaller boobs or need to push them up, don't be afraid to get really exaggerated with the padding, because there are girls that don't have their boobs done and you wouldn't even think it, because they put their bikini on right and they glue it down right and they have a bunch of padding in there and make it look as, you know, they make it work for them and their physique.
Absolutely. So, you know, if getting your boobs done is something that financially you want to do, you talked to with your husband or your fiance or boyfriend, girlfriend if you swing that way, or girlfriend. you know, if that's something that you want to do for you, then absolutely. But I wouldn't get them done solely because you want to compete and you want to succeed. You got to do it for you.
There you go.
And if I know, like you said, I know a lot of girls who have turned pro without having their boobs done. So do it because you want to do it and not because you think that alone will help your placing. Because if everything else is a hot mess, if you got great boobs, it's like, well, I'm not saying the girl we're talking about is a hot mess by any means. I'm just saying if you have some girls who have a huge set of boobs, but nothing else flows well. And their personality is not on stage very well. And their suit's kind of off. But you said they got a great boob job. Great. But that doesn't really mean everything. So as long as you're doing it for you, do it for you. If not, pad the crap out of it. How about it?
Exactly. Yeah. I completely agree with you.
Alrighty. Well, that does it for this half of the show. That's it.
43 minutes later.
How about it? See, this is a good first half.
Seriously, I never realized how much we talk.
I know, right?
I've been trying to not talk lately, too.
I don't know if it's going to work at all.
Because seriously, ever since I listened to that Access Bodybuilding and Aaron Singerman goes, yeah, because Diana likes to talk so much, you know.
You're like, oh no, I better quit talking so much.
I'm just going to cut it off right here, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Well, on the second half of this show, everyone, please stay tuned. We have a hilarious interview with Gail Auerbach, the editor-in-chief of RX Girl here on RX Muscle. And she also took first place in the middleweight as a female bodybuilder at the USA's. She's also a teacher. She is just a ball of fun. She talks about skydiving. She talks about the disgusting things that she ate when she was dieting. She talks about balancing, you know, normal work with everything else. So really fun interview. Very, I like to call it very candid, uncensored interview with Gail Auerbach. So everyone will love this one. But Diana, that does it. So I'll see you next week. Enjoy your week.
Thank you very much, darling, and I'll see you guys next week.
Sweet. We'll be right back after this.
Muscle Girls Inc., the next generation. Is pain during your workout slowing you down? Try Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Developed by Dr. Craig Banks, a chiropractor and a bodybuilder, Kodiak Chiropractic Cream is a topical formula that penetrates the skin and decreases inflammation and pain. Its unique blend of over 20 different natural anti-inflammatory ingredients has helped people across the country to work out with less pain. Kodiak is safe, effective, and it won't leave you smelling like a medicine cabinet either. A 4-ounce bottle is only $25 and lasts a long time, as a little goes a long way. To order your 2-month supply, call 330-678-2225 or go to KodiakCream.com. Get yours today and work out with less pain. KodiakCream.com.
Are you tired all day, not making the gains you like? Are you taking a long time to recuperate from your workouts? Then you may be suffering from sleep apnea and not even know it. Sleep apnea affects over 68% of athletes, and it may be interfering with your performance. WinningEdgeSleep.com was developed by IFBB pro athlete Dr. Derlin Castro to help athletes find out if they have this problem and how to fix it. WinningEdgeSleep.com, because sleep is the most anabolic agent there is. WinningEdgeSleep.com. Visit them today.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimal Nutrition, Gaspari, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or metabolic nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy 200 $400 worth of PSN products and receive a PSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one Extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Gear is a powerful new line of nutraceutical products that prepare, optimize, and repair your body to get the best results before, during, and after your workout. Gear utilizes the latest advances in food science and the purest form of raw ingredients to ensure that you are getting the safest and most effective physical results possible. If you're looking to take your physical performance to the next level, Gear is the answer to obtain and sustain those results. It's time to experience the difference with Gear.
This is IFBB Pro Michael DeVittori from Team Gear. Come see me in the full line of gear products at our official launch taking place at the MPC Nationals in South Beach, Miami, November 18th, 2011. See you there.
Pro Bodybuilding and Pro Figure is coming to India. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th in Mumbai, India. Featuring Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. Jay's only competitive bodybuilding show outside of the Mr. Olympia contest. Plus, all your favorite bodybuilders and figure athletes. Phil Heath, Branch Warren, Kai Green, Victor Martinez, Miss Figure Olympia Erin Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Cheryl Brown, Candace Keene, Courtney Brown, and so many more. Come be a part of history by attending the Cheryl Classic, the first pro show in Asia, and the third biggest bodybuilding competition in the world, with $150,000 in prize money. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit CherylClassic.com. Come meet your favorite competitors at the Cheryl Classic Expo and after party. Don't miss out on your chance to be a part of history. The 2011 Cheryl Classic. Visit CherylClassic.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina Voynich, and I have a very, very special guest that I'm excited to have on RX Muscle, and especially on Muscle Girls Inc. I have the very own editor-in-chief of RX Girl for RxMuscle.com. She is a national-level NPC female bodybuilder. She's also currently holds the title for the first place middleweight female bodybuilder at the USA's. It is a whole freaking mouthful. I have Gail Auerbach on for Muscle Girls this week. How are you, Gail?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think I could have added anything more to your title there. You got anything else?
I mean, doctor usually goes to the beginning of my name, but I don't even usually use that on an everyday basis. So you have added more to my name than I usually do.
I forgot. You, Gail also has a PhD, so I guess I should have thrown Dr. Gail Auerbach in the mix there. But I'm sorry, Gail. Next time, I'll add it.
I don't even go by that on an everyday basis. So I thought, you know, it does longer than most people, you know?
Exactly. So I'm excited to have you on this week. You know, a lot of times we have people who've just recently won shows. And, of course, I apologize. I didn't have you on right after you won first place at the USA's. But my apologies. That's why I'm having you on now. But you have a lot of insight just because you've been working for RX Muscle. You kind of are the backbone to the female side of RX. So I figured what better show to have you on than Muscle Girls Inc. So I got to ask, what was it like when you first started to really be a part of RX Muscle, knowing that, you know, a lot of the women you'd be interviewing or talking to at shows are women that you followed their careers for, you know, as long as you've been in bodybuilding. So what was that like? I got to ask.
You know, it was a little intimidating at first, a little nerve-wracking because here I was. And when I started with RX Girl, I really wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. I kind of created it into more of a monster than I thought I was going to. I thought, oh, I'm going to interview a few girls and post some articles up about them and, you know, maybe interact with them a little bit. And all of a sudden, it was like when I started talking to them on the phone, and it was like, I just talked to Miss Olympia. It kind of hit me that these people are not only people I followed for so long, but people that I know so much about already that I'd interview them and I'd have to see them questions at them. And it was like, wait, I already know the answer. I read this interview, you know, how many years ago in a magazine? Or I read that question, you know, how many years ago in this or in that? And so it was a little intimidating at first because, you know, it's kind of like that first date where you're unsure of what to say. And so you start to just ask everything. That's kind of what I felt like with a lot of the girls that I met.
Who was the one that you were the most nervous to talk to first?
I don't know. There's so many. Who was the very first one? I have to say that I started talking to a lot of the girls at the beginning that I had worked with. Tammy Marie, but she had done my suit, so I was a little more comfortable with her. So most of the girls at the very beginning, I kind of did girls I'd be a little more comfortable with, and then I kind of branched out. And I think the very first person, I don't know, I was nervous through all of it, to be honest with you. But I think the first time I met Nicole Ball, I was probably the most nervous because I idolized her to death. Because number one, she's a middleweight. Number two, she was, you know, a species athlete. She always was the same weight as I was, and I just heard so much about her, what a great, you know, person she was. And I was a little nervous. It was like a first date. It was like, so I like the color blue and I enjoy reading, and you know, it was a little nerve wracking.
Oh, I can only imagine. I kind of feel like I've kind of gone through the same thing, you know, interviewing a lot of the women on Muscle Girls. You know, you do the print side, and I've got the radio side. And for everyone listening, you know, when you go to the expos and you have the chance to finally meet either, you know, if Ronnie Coleman or Kai Greene is your idol, or if you're a woman, if you love Aaron Stern or Nicole Wilkins, to talk to these people, even meet them in an expo for a few minutes is huge. So definitely for myself and especially you, Gail, to be able to talk with these women that you've idolized for so long just seems kind of surreal. But I have to ask, is there one that you're still waiting to talk to that you're just like, oh my God, if I ever have the chance, I can't wait to talk to this one person?
I'd have to say Iris Kyle.
I was going to ask you, you haven't talked to Iris Kyle yet?
I have not. And every time that I have made that attempt to kind of do that, it just hasn't worked out. Like, I haven't been able to get her contact info, or she's prepping for a show and I didn't want to bother her, or hey, she was about to do the Olympia, you know, so I better not be her first priority. So it just hasn't happened yet. I think it's going to soon. I think my heart is kind of into doing the chase down, you know, so I can find her and really talk to her.
We're going to somehow get our resources together, you and I, and try to get Iris Kyle for you. How about that?
That works. That'd be like a dream come true. I might not have to leave my house for like 24 hours prepping for that interview, but that's okay.
You'll have like a whole computer program dedicated to the questions that you want to ask Iris Kyle. That'd be like a 10-page interview, I think, on paper. But really quick, some people kind of know your story, some people kind of don't. You played sports, you were athletic when you were younger. So for anyone who doesn't know, what kind of got you into bodybuilding in the first place? Like I've told, you know, Nicole Ball when I had her on, when I've had Robin Menken, when I've had a lot of the other women, female bodybuilders on, everybody kind of has a different story because obviously this isn't a mainstream sport, as you know, you very well know. So what was it about female bodybuilding that said, you know what, I can do this and I can be successful, so here we go?
I think, you know, in high school I did every sport. I was one of those people that kind of was all around. And I actually ended up getting recruited to run cross country in Northern Illinois. And when that happened, I ran and I kept getting, you know, stress fractures, shin splints, stress fractures. It never would go away. It was always harping on me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to redshirt for a year, try to get this under control, and then I'll go back to running. You know, I was doing really well, and it was a fairly new team at Northern. I said, yeah, I'm just going to redshirt for a year and kind of get things under control. And I was president of my sorority house, and I had, you know, that stuff that I was still doing for the house and sports through the house. So I knew I'd stay in shape, and I start, you know, just going to the gym on my own. And pretty soon, I started playing rugby. And then when I started playing rugby, I fell in love with rugby and said, I want to go back to running. And they offered me a scholarship for rugby. And I said, okay, screw running. I'm going to take the rugby scholarship. So I went off of a redshirt for the year. And I said, okay, I'm going to start playing rugby. I didn't tell my parents. I was too scared to tell my parents I had switched sports. So all they knew was that I still was getting a scholarship, which is all they really care about. My parents are kind of old. I'm a little senile by that age. So I had them convinced I was always the library studying.
It's a good alternative.
Yeah. So from that, I really got into weightlifting, and I just found out that I put on muscle really easily to the point where I didn't have to lift as much as everybody else did or as often as everyone else did, even as a runner, because of the fact that I bulked up so easily. And through the sorority, I did a whole bunch of events, and one of the events was Greek Physique for the bodybuilding competition, and I did it 4 years in a row and won all 4 years. And I thought, you know, I'm done with this. I graduated from college. I said, I focused on my career. I need to go back and get my master's. I'm done with this bodybuilding. I just want to work out and live a happy, healthy lifestyle. And I went back to the gym, and of course, I fell into the Export Niles crowd who all competed. They kept saying, do a show, and I kept saying, here, nuts, I've been there and done that. I'm not going back. And of course, I ended up doing a show, and that was the end of it. I just fell back in love with it and haven't let go.
I got to say, the most ironic thing is I also went to Northern Illinois, and my roommate, my very first roommate, it was random. You know, your first year as a freshman, they give you some random chick, and I meet her. She was kind of simple, kind of just like a normal. She was a little nerdy. She always did her homework on time. She had everything labeled for her, you know, her meal, or not her meals really, but her food and her toiletries. But then one day she walks in, and she has got bloody knees and bruises everywhere. I was like, where the hell have you been? And she was like, oh, I joined the rugby team. I was like, all right, you're a tougher chick than I thought. So I got to give you credit, Gail. It takes a hell of a girl to play rugby, because I saw it firsthand with my very first roommate. So any chance that maybe after bodybuilding's over, you're going to go back into sports, or you're pretty much done with that?
I think after bodybuilding, I'm going to go into being a mother.
That's a better chance. Maybe you'll be more successful in that arena.
Okay, I got my front teeth knocked out playing rugby, and all my front teeth are all fake because I literally got them knocked out to the point where I'd have surgery to get teeth put back in my mouth. So I'm going to guess that the mouth guard probably is not going to hold those teeth in for me to play rugby. So it's probably not going to be a rugby sport kind of girl when I get done.
Oh, I can only imagine. Now, for anyone else that knows you, You're a very, very hard worker. You know, for everyone listening, Gail diets her ass off. She trains her ass off. She kicks my ass in the gym sometimes. I'll admit it. Gail, I've told some fun stories of you and I working out together, and how you don't want to be outlifted by a bikini girl. Even if it's pound for pound for body weight, you will still, if I do a set with 25s and I do 20, you're like, screw this. I'm doing a set with 45s and I'm doing 50, because you're very competitive in a good way, because I think you got to be in this sport. But what do you think is the hardest thing for you when you get ready for a show? If there's one thing that is just like, oh my God, this is an obstacle, what is it?
I think the frustrating part for me when it comes to everything is dieting, because it takes such a low amount of calories to get me to make weight. You know, I'm such a hard person to diet. My body doesn't respond to the normal things that people's body should respond to. You know, if it's hormones, I have a very slow metabolism. I'm trying to build this off season. And I just have a really rough time dieting. I'm always on a ton of cardio. I mean, you know, I'm messing around the gym. Everyone else leaves and takes off. They've lifted, they're done, and they're off to eat dinner. And I'm like, an hour of cardio still to do. Here I go.
Right.
It's just the frustration of, like, it taking so much more for me to get where I want to go to accomplish my goal than other people. And I think if it were easy for me, I probably would have quit a long time ago doing it. I think the actual thrill and adventure, I'm a very extreme person. Everything I do is extreme. So for me, the extreme that it takes to get me down there dieting is what I love about it, but at the same time what I hate about it in the process.
So speaking of extreme, you have quite a few extremes in your life. Good extremes, I think. But I got to say, especially with, we'll use the first extreme, the bodybuilding, the dieting, the cardio. What is your motivation then to get through that one extreme part of your life? What keeps you going each and every day when you've got to eat, you know, 1,000 calories and do 2.5-3 hours of cardio? What's in the back of your head when you're doing that?
That I don't want to disappoint number one, the people who support me, the people who love me, and people who wish, you know, wish me well. But I don't want to split myself either. I've never, ever given up on anything I've wanted ever in my entire life. Everything I've always wanted, I've just kept pushing forward. And that drive and that determination is just how I live. It's just I'm completing my own self, you know, and I just don't want to disappoint myself. I know my true self is good, and I want to complete that circle. You know, I don't want to say to myself, well, you should, could have, would have, you were so close. I want to know that if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with flames coming out. So
that's a good way to look at it. I think a lot of people can take that and run with it and think, oh man, when they don't want to do that extra freaking session of cardio, think you don't want to let yourself down. Because you know at the end of the day, if you don't look how you want to look on stage, it's like, damn it, if only I would have done that little more cardio I should have done, it would have made all the difference in the world, you know, that time on stage.
But, and I think I take it week by week, you know, and the nice part is my weekly reports, I don't want to disappoint Dave. I don't want to disappoint, you know, his expectation in me either. So if he says, I want you to do 7 hours of cardio, then I'll do 7 hours of cardio, but then the week I'll say, hey, you know what? This is what I felt like this week. Can we change something? Can we do something a little different? Can we try this? Can we mix this up? But I always do it because I don't want to train or report to him at the end of the week. It's like a report card. And I don't want to ever get an F on a report card because I never have in my life. So it's almost like that. I'm working to try to get myself to that goal by, you know, Saturday or wherever I report to him. I want that A on my report card, too. So I think that keeps me motivated and pushing ahead, too. So
it's good. Now, another extreme I think that you have recently discovered within the last couple of weeks. If anyone has looked at Gail's Facebook, if you're friends with Gail on Facebook, you've probably seen the photos. But, Gail, what is this new extreme sport that you have suddenly fallen in love with?
I'm so blaming this one on my account. It's not even funny. I fell in love with skydiving. I really did. And I went I did the Lead for Life, which is a fundraiser that raises money. This year it was for children's cancer through Alex's Lemonade Stand. But every year is a little bit different. They choose a charity that everyone finds very true to their hearts, very spiritually, you know, something everyone cares about that's in the group. And they raise money for that. And then they take a day and they do what's called Leap for Life, which is skydiving. Well, last year, after the skydiving event, I said to Rick Collins, that's it. I want to do it next year. I don't care what it takes. I've always wanted to do it. I want to try it. It's on my bucket list, and I need to get this checked off. So he said, okay. So I was going to fly out to New York and do it, but due to circumstances beyond my control, I wasn't able to do so. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it in Chicago. So I got a group of friends together who have always wanted to go skydiving, and I said, let's go. Now, I had raised money for Alex's Lemonade Stand, but they had not. They were merely doing it just to, you know, accompany me on this exciting journey that I decided we were going to plan. And I went. And it was the greatest experience of my entire life. I never could imagine not going skydiving now. And so what did I do? I went that day, and next week I went back again. And then the following weekend I went back again. I've gone 3 times since then. I'm so addicted to it. I just want to go every day. I thought about teaching work a few times just to go skydiving. Oh, look, it's sunny outside. Today's a perfect day for skydiving. I should go home and work sick. You know, I can't do that. But that's what's in my head, is I love it that much.
Now, what's the rush like when you jump, like, for all of us who've never gone skydiving, and I personally have never been skydiving, I've been, like, parasailing, but that's not shit compared to what skydiving really is, because you're like free falling. So what's it like when you are in the airplane, you're getting ready to go? What is the thought process that's happening right before you jump out of this airplane?
You know, you have to go through this little, your first time skydiving, your first 2 times, you jump tandem. So you have to go through this little class where they teach you, you know, how to watch, you know, your watch and to make sure that you pull your cord at the right time. They teach you what to do when you jump and to keep your head back and hold on to your harness and all these steps. So your first time you're like thinking about, oh God, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. And like you're sitting in a plane. And when you sit in the plane, you're sitting on the floor of the plane and everyone's crotches. Like everyone's in each other's crotches in this plane.
God.
So you're also like flying up, you know, how much of altitude in someone's crotch,
yes.
You know, who you've never met before that day. So the person that your tandem instructor is behind you, and they'll on the way up, they'll go through everything with you, what you should do, remember this, remember that. Pretty soon you're on your knees, you're being clipped together with all this stuff, and you're being kneed to the front of the plane. And it isn't until you hit the front of the plane that you're really like, oh, wow, that's a long way down. And then before you know it, it's a 1, 2, 3, and they literally push you out of the plane.
Were there any hot tandem guys?
Oh yeah, my guy was really hot.
I was gonna say, for all of us ladies out there, we need to do a survey. Like, okay, all right, I want you. I don't want you. I want you. I don't ever want you. I would go on picking which one you wanted.
Well, the other girl that I went with, her guy was kind of dorky, and we were sitting there, paper, scissors, rock, and we're like, all right, I gotta get the cute guy. So we sat there, and finally when I found out I had the cute guy, I was like, oh, wow. So we're in the plane, and they're videotaping us, and I turned around going, see, he's got a pencil in his pocket. She started dying laughing. And my friend was so nervous. I mean, I thought she was going to need a diaper. She was so nervous, my best friend. And it's like the first time I jumped, you just kind of fall. The second time I did a somersault out of the plane because I was so excited. But it's just this overall feeling of nothing matters during that time. You know, the stress you have at home, your job, your work, all the drama in your life, nothing matters. All that matters is that you're literally free falling through the sky. And the scene is amazing. I mean, it's like when you look out the window of a plane, that's what you're seeing, but you're actually falling into it.
That's nuts.
And you're watching the altitude on a watch, and then you pull the cord, and the second you pull your cord and your parachute opens, your tandem instructor actually lets you loose a little bit, and you get to actually steer the parachute.
Oh, my gosh.
It's really cool, because you can drift whichever direction you want to. I mean, you fly over people's houses, and just the things you see, you just feel like you have no cares in the world. It's just such a cool feeling, and it's such it's just an extreme sport, as everything I do is, but it's just something that for that 20 minutes takes. 20 minutes that I'm relaxed and stress-free and just living life and loving it, and I really did. I fell in love with it. Now, if they would lower the price to skydive, I'd be in that.
I was going to say, if it was like $20 every time you'd go, you'd probably go over your lunch break every time, huh?
Oh, God, I'd be there every day. But I am going to get, I'm going to go through the class to become certified so I no longer have to jump tandem and I can jump on my own. So that'd be really cool.
I say, if there's ever a time, maybe next year when it's nice outside during Junior Nationals in Chicago, I say we get a whole crew to go skydiving.
Well, I'll bring you this way now. That's what I'm doing for my birthday next year.
Ladies and gentlemen, for everyone listening, you are invited to Chicago for Carol's birthday, and we're all going to go skydiving. Done and done.
I will literally house people in my house if they want to spend the weekend and skydive because I'll be dieting more than likely. I always am on my birthday. But the more people that go, the more fun it is. If cold plane is people that you know, it's even more fun because on the way up, you have people to joke around with and hang out with. So
very cool.
Come on, skydive.
All right. I was going to say, I think everyone's going to go sign up to skydive while the weather's still nice wherever they are. But now, another extreme that you have, you went to a camp recently known as Extreme Camp, right? That's the name of it, if I have that right?
It's Extreme Training Camp, yes. It was in Ohio.
I was going to say, tell everybody what that is. Again, another extreme in Gail's life. but this one.
Yeah, I actually had to change my website to The Extreme Prodigy lately because everything is so extreme in my life. I'm so black or white.
That's good.
Extreme Training Camp was in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was at John Perillo's facility, and it was, I have to say, I'll preface it by saying this. I got my ass handed to me, no joke, killed. I was sore for a week, but I learned a ton. And I think that I lift, and like you said, I work out pretty strong. I mean, I have some pretty strong workouts, and I see myself as lifting pretty heavy and really always giving it 100% and pushing. There's nothing like Extreme Training Camp from the day you get there. The interval cardio training is different. The 100 rep sets are intense and insane.
Oh, my God. Wait. Say that again. 100 rep sets?
100 reps, yes.
That's nuts. How the hell did you do that? Like, how did you get through that?
I cried. I really did. I cried. I cried twice. Literally tears coming out of my eyes. I wasn't wearing waterproof mascara. It was very nerve-wracking.
Oh, so that's you were looking sexy by the end of the day, I bet you.
Oh, yes. And I did puke once, but I didn't let anyone see me. I went someplace else to it, away from everybody. But they go through, you know, proper form with you. They go through different exercises that you can do. They go through effective stretching. They give you 1,000,005 wonderful goodies, such as a cursed little scale, food scale. They give you every Perillo protein bar that he makes, he gives you a sample of. You get a software nutritional program. You get what else? The body fat calibers, they go through how to do body fat testing and body stats. It's really meant, I guess, for people who are personal trainers. But for people like me who aren't really personal trainers, it was so much information. I was overwhelmed. I went home and was like, thank God I had these manuals. But it was an incredible experience. And I really, it's to push yourself to the extreme. It's to show yourself that even though you think you're training hard, there's always other ways of training that can, you know, increase the intensity that you train at. Or there's other things you can do that can increase your training. He went over, like, you know, weak spots. Like, one girl's like, oh, my, you know, my back sickness is my weakness. Or, you know, I have no glute ham tie-ins. And he went over certain things you can do to really hit those. I mean, he went through dieting. He went through, I mean, you name it. But the best part of the weekend, and, of course, you know me, food is very important to me. The best part of the weekend was the food. Because he has so many products that are dessert-type products, like cake and brownies and ice cream and cookies, but they're all like diet food. Like, you could have them in the off-season on your off-season diet. Okay. Some people can probably have them when they contest diet if they don't have their metabolism. And they all taste really good. And he gave you a tour of his facility where he makes everything, and you had open rein to just go help yourself with whatever you wanted. So that was pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
Now, I guess my next question is very, I guess, extreme. So you and I talked about this before, that we were probably going to mention this on the show. And we had talked before, Diana and I have talked before about crazy things and crazy dieting and crazy foods that normal people would never even touch with a 10-foot pole. But when you're dieting, somehow foods that may sound disgusting actually taste pretty good. So, Gail, you have a love for a certain concoction of food that eventually you told Dave Palumbo about. So tell us a little bit about what this concoction was, this very extreme concoction that you had a little bit of here and there and maybe more when you were dieting, if you don't mind.
This all started, okay. Hopefully David knows his radio show, because I was hurting really badly. I don't want him to hear that, because I don't ever admit to him that I'm hurting badly. So I'm afraid he's going to say, oh, you know, eat more. I don't want to ruin my diet. So I never would cheat on my diet. Never, ever, ever. So I always come up with creative ways to give myself something to make my brain think that it's eating when it's really not. Okay. So I decided that I could have mustard on my diet. So I made a little mustard concoction with mustard and cinnamon and stevia. And I'd mix it together, and I would eat it. And it wasn't really cheating, because I mean, I could have all those things. Never on my piece of paper for my diet to say I couldn't. So that's okay. How it started, is I started eating this mustard concoction.
Was it just mustard at first, mustard by itself? You would just eat mustard out of a bowl?
Just mustard and stevia at first. And then I started adding cinnamon. And then I started adding Mrs. Dash's, like, different table like seasonings. And then after that, it turned into
So let me get this straight for everyone. First, there's mustard, and then stevia, and then cinnamon, and then Mrs. Dash, all in a little bowl together, right?
Yeah, and I mix it up. If you mix it up, it really does taste good if you're dieting. But I have to admit that, like, now that I'm being really strict with my off-season diet, like, the thought has come across eating it again.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
I think it seemingly makes me feel good. It's like one of those orgasmic moments in life, you know, where you're like, oh, God, this feels so good.
It is. It's funny how, you know, in your off season, it's like, oh, man, that doesn't sound good. If I could have cake and cookies and brownies and, like, that all sounds delicious. When you're dieting, it's like some mustard so it's kind of sour and kind of sweet with the stevia and a little cinnamon. But for the normal person, they're like, oh, my God, what the hell are you doing eating that? That sounds awful. But apparently it worked for you. Apparently you liked it. Yeah.
Well, then I start putting it in a microwave to, like, give it a different consistency.
Oh, my God, Gail, no!
Well, it gets worse. You know, I went from the mustard thing to eating something else. I thought my food without knowing it.
Okay, Gail, how far did it go?
I've been doing it lately a lot more in the off-season, just because I've been dieting so hard in the off-season even. But I started spraying ham on all my food and eating it. But then I started spraying it in a bowl and eating it with cinnamon.
And the problem is I think you realize later how many calories that actually is at the end of the day, right?
Well, Dave said in his diet, you know, I could use Pam to cook things, and I figured if I can use Pam on Teflon pans to cook things in, why couldn't I just add a little bit more to my
food?
So I would soak it in Pam. And I was trying to lose weight, and we couldn't figure out why my weight wasn't coming down. Couldn't figure it out. And I think I mentioned something to somebody about, like, oh, God, you know, it's a Gordon Food Service, it's buttery flavored cooking spray. It's not even like a real Pam. And it gets this really fluffy, buttery, like, white happy look to it. And it just tastes so good. It's like you put some cinnamon on it, it's like a Cinnabon. And it just gooches, like, over the side of the food. It's like, oh, this is so good. And I eat it on everything. And pretty soon it started off with just eating it, like, on eggs. And then it would go to, like, my turkey. Pretty soon it was, like, the entire plate was coated. My roommate would be like, can you let go of the aerosol, for the love of God?
I was going to say, you are quite extreme. So, of course, it started out as kind of a small little once in a while. You add a little bit, and then it's like, oh, my God, it turned into a meal of its own. So when you took that out of your diet then what happened?
I lost 5 pounds.
Like, overnight?
Overnight. Well, then everyone started teasing me. Like, then everybody at the gym found out. Then everyone started teasing me. Everyone at work found out. They started teasing me. You know, Emerald, you know, has this little bam thing. People come up to me and go, Pam. I was like, oh, geez, here we go. I mean, I got the life out of me. I still do about it. But here's the thing. I didn't really cheat on my diet because technically it didn't say don't spray Pam on all your food on my diet.
That's true. So for everyone who enjoys Pam, if you're spraying it all over everything and you're trying to lose weight, maybe if you cut that down a little bit, because there's still calories in the stevia, there's still calories in the mustard. If you are using it in excess, then hey, that could maybe be the reason why you're not losing weight. If you cut all that stuff out, maybe you'll see a change. Is that your advice for everybody?
Sure.
Just say yes.
I'll say yes for the sake of the fact that Dave might listen to the radio show.
Thank you.
It really helped me get through dieting.
At least you figured out, though, what was keeping you from losing weight. And you, in turn, not only lost the weight and looked great, you also snagged the first place middleweight title at the USA. So that says something, I think.
It does say something. I had a great year. I'm having a good off season. So we'll see what it's going to be.
Now, I like to end every interview that I do with 3 fun questions. So my first question is, now, while, you know, you and I do get the chance to work out together and train together, I think I mentioned on the show one time that I accidentally downloaded a song to my iPod. And I think I told a story on Muscle Girls before. So in the middle of a workout, I don't know if we were doing lunges or we were doing something like intense, all of a sudden I hear, she's taking money. And I was like, oh my God. Somehow accidentally I downloaded Gold Digger to my iPod, and in the middle of a hardcore workout, I hear Gold Digger. Well, now, unfortunately, I still haven't deleted it, but it gives me a laugh every time that song comes on. So I don't really know what you listen to when you train. So when you're training, what's your music of choice? Because I've asked everybody this, so I got tons of different answers. So for you, aside from Gold Digger now, what type of music do you listen to when you work out?
A little bit of everything. I like the newest stuff on the radio. I usually fall in love with really random songs. And because I'm such an extreme person, I tend to find a song I like and then play it 930 times and literally do 45 minutes cardio listening to the same song.
So I do the same thing. I thought I was nuts. When I used to have the CDs, I buy a new CD, I would play a song so much, I'd get a little ring around that one spot on the disc because I would overplay it. So I feel ya. Keep going.
so lately it's been Cheers, the Drink to That song. I don't know why. I think it's because I look forward to the weekend so much.
Okay.
But I started getting in a really bad habit of downloading some really old songs, songs from back when I was in high school, and really random stuff that reminded me of times in my life when I first started dating and first started having experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so lately I've been trying to add those kinds of things to my playlist. And the funny thing is I've been listening to Booty Call.
Yes. I like
so
it.
I turned it into my ringtone for certain people in my life.
I don't want to know. We're not going to those questions just yet.
So lately it's been Cheers, Drink to That, and Booty Call.
Okay, I like it. Everyone, go out and download these songs and put it in your playlist. I've decided I'm going to go back and remember the type of music or the songs that everyone's mentioned on Muscle Girls, and we're going to have a Muscle Girls playlist that everybody can download on iTunes, and you can go and you can play all these songs. It's the MGI, the official MGI workout list.
And we need to post that on Ox Girl.
Yes. I need to go speak with the editor, Gail.
If you're real nice, she might help you with that list.
Maybe. Okay, so my second question is a two-parter. First one is, if you are allowed a cheat meal in your diet, and I know, you know, sometimes your diet is very, very, very strict, very hardcore, you can't cheat. But when you are allowed a cheat meal, what do you usually eat? And I don't mean post-contest, you just won USA's, but during the week on a Friday night, what's your cheat meal?
I'm really addicted to Outback Steakhouse, to their little petite fillets. They have, like, different crusted, the Parmesan, like, different crusted fillets. I'm very addicted to that. I'm very addicted to sweet potato fries. I have to say those are probably the two things that I strive for on my cheat meals.
So then what was your meal after USA's when you won first place? Your post-contest, I just freaking won, I got a big-ass trophy. What do you eat?
I don't remember where we went that night. I think we went to, like, someplace in the hotel. I think it was, like, Benihana or something like that we went to.
Okay, so what type of...
No, we had room service. That's what it was.
That's pretty typical for the RX crew, for anyone that doesn't know, because there's so much video that needs to be edited and wrap-ups and tagging photos and all that. A lot of the times, everyone just ends up room service. Okay, so let's pretend that didn't happen. Let's say you just won the biggest show of your life, whichever show you deem that to be. What would you want post-show? You could eat anything... at any restaurant, what would you get?
In-N-Out Burger.
Ah, good one.
Yeah, In-N-Out Burger, without a doubt. That's why I did USA for 7 years, is the In-N-Out Burger was right next door. So in between pre-judging the night show, I was at In-N-Out Burger. That's the reason I did USA is back-to-back for the last 2 years.
I love your reasoning, Gail.
Everyone has it.
That's, you got to do what you got to do. So my very last question... we haven't talked a lot about competing, but as you know, there's all this talk about women's bodybuilding. Is it going to be here? Is it not going to be here? With women's physique, you know, a lot of the female bodybuilders are now trying to have a softer look almost, and adding posing that kind of sort of relates them to the women's physique. So if they need to switch over, maybe the judges will realize they can. But for the women who still love female bodybuilding, and you, of course, are, you know, head and toes. You are a female bodybuilder 100%. So what advice can you give to those women who see the way the industry has changed but still want to be a female bodybuilder, still love female muscle? What advice can you give them to, like, keep going and keep down the path that they're going?
I think it's not over till it's over. You know, there's talk of everything changing over time. Even in your life, things change when you don't even know they're going to change. And I think until someone says, okay, there no longer is a female bodybuilding division to sign up for, keep female bodybuilding. Keep going. If no one signs up, they're going to even have more reason to get rid of it. So I think as female bodybuilders, we all need to kind of merge together and say, let's keep signing up for these shows. Let's keep these shows alive. Let's keep going. You know, because if not... if that doesn't happen, they're going to get rid of female bodybuilders. They're going to say, well, there's only 3 girls that showed up, you know, and the other 12 that were going to do it did physique instead. It's not over till it's over. If you truly love the way that you look when you look in the mirror every day, as I do, keep the muscle and you just keep pushing ahead. You know, and when one door closes, another one opens. And I just think that you just don't know what tomorrow brings. I think you can't make that change and say, well, it's gone, I'm going to move on, until you know for sure that it's gone.
I love, love, love that mentality, because I think a lot of people are worried. But like you said, if you don't sign up, then they have, sometimes the promoter has no choice but to just, you know, kind of give it the 86 for the next year if no one's going to sign up. So if you love it, you're saying if you love it, keep doing it. Don't look back. Yep.
You got it.
Awesome, Gail. Well, this has been fun. I think I've decided this is like an uncensored version of Gail Auerbach, where bodybuilding was kind of in on the back burner. We just talked about other stuff so people get to know you a little better. So for anyone who is interested in either a spotlight interview on them, if they're interested in getting in contact with you, how do they do that?
The best way to get in contact with me is probably through email, which is ghauerbach@yahoo.com. And I'm here just to promote the women in any way possible, through articles, through interviews, through, you know, I've got a million and five ideas. journals, we've been doing blogs, we've been doing all kinds of really creative different things. So if you are a woman out there who, you know, really says, I need to push that promotional button and I need to get myself out there, feel free to contact me because I would love to work with you.
And Gail is wonderful to work with. So she has my, I guess I vouch for Gail. There we go. So if you trust me, trust in Gail. This sounds like a political like spiel, like I trust in Gail Auerbach.
I'll vote for her for president.
Exactly. Gail for president. Well, Gail, again, thank you so much for coming on Muscle Girls. As always, it's fun, and I'm sure I'll see you soon. I'll see you, like, tomorrow or something, honestly.
I'm good. Take care. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, that does it for this episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. If you have any questions or comments or any ideas for this show, you can shoot me an email, Christina, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, at arcmuscle.com. That does it for this show. Until next week, we will see you next week.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is a presentation of rxmuscle.com.